Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for checking out Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google, 99.1, thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app, brought to you by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc. We had a full weekend of college basketball action. We had some really big upsets in the top 10. We've had most of the SEC get their seasons underway. We're still waiting for a couple more weeks for Tennessee and Ole Miss. Florida has not played yet, but the rest of the conference has gotten their season started, and we're looking ahead to bigger matchups this week after having some big matchups over the weekend. There are some under-the-radar games coming up this week that could be a lot of fun to check out. So we're going to get to all of that as we have just so much college basketball to talk about. It's what's looking like a really big Tuesday with the Champions Classic coming up. You've got the Jimmy V Classic coming up on Wednesday. Tennessee was supposed to be in that. Instead, the Volunteers are being replaced by West Virginia, which will take on Gonzaga. But we'll discuss that later on in the podcast. Looking back on the weekend, since we broke off Friday morning, we saw Gonzaga just drill Auburn after what was a somewhat close first half before Gonzaga really just pulled away down in the Fort Myers tip-off. Biggest upset of the Friday was San Francisco knocking off Virginia, and it looked like Virginia was going to pull away late. It looked like Virginia was going to have an opportunity to put that game away after being in a defensive struggle for most of the afternoon. San Francisco goes on an 8-0 run, takes a 7-point lead. Virginia almost comes back. They score the final 6 points of the game and can't get the final shot to fall after San Francisco missed the front end of a 1-1 in the final seconds. So San Francisco gets a huge win over Virginia, a really nice win for the Dons, which were a fairly competitive team in the WCC last year. Now, they followed that up with a loss to Rhode Island. As I mentioned last week, I think Rhode Island with Fats Russell looks really, really good. San Francisco has a win over Towson, lost to UMass Lowell, which that's what made the Virginia game so surprising, that they were able to come out and beat a Virginia team that was ranked fourth in the country. I did not think Virginia warranted a top five ranking. I thought they were going to be really good, but to me, I thought they still had another step to take to be in that conversation. I know that Tony Bennett now has the championship pedigree under his resume, but to me, I thought four was a little bit too high for Virginia going into the season. So it probably going to be corrected, obviously, the next time the rankings come out here as we sit here recording on a Monday morning. But Virginia falls to San Francisco. Illinois avoided upset alert against Ohio. Ohio started the season with a pair of wins and gave Illinois all it could handle, beat Chicago State, beat NCAA&T, which, okay, not great wins, but Illinois had just run through its first two opponents down in Champaign, and the eighth-ranked Illini needed all the help they could get to hold off the Bobcats. So a nice performance from Ohio, not the best showing for Illinois after getting two cupcake opponents. So we'll see how that looks for the Jimmy V Classic later on Wednesday when Illinois takes on Baylor. Baylor got their season started on Sunday. They crushed Washington in a rematch from last year. Obviously, Washington just a significant step down. They don't have Isaac Stewart. They don't have Jaden McDaniels. It's just a team that's having to kind of hit the reset button after losing so much valuable talent from last year. Baylor, of course, was so much returning. Scott Drew having to overcome some COVID issues. They were supposed to play against Arizona State in the 2K Empire Classic last week. They didn't, but still a nice showing from Baylor to go out and just whoop Washington the way that it did. West Virginia needing to have some issues holding off South Dakota State earlier last week. We talked about that, and then only beat Western Kentucky by 6. So Western Kentucky in the Bad Boy Mowers Classic, a couple of good performances, beat Northern Iowa, and then upset Memphis after Memphis had topped St. Mary's. So West Virginia off to a bit of a slow start. They have a monster test coming up in the Jimmy V Classic on Wednesday against top-ranked Gonzaga. Gonzaga has looked really, really good through its first couple of games after beating Kansas, by 12 back on Thursday. We talked about that game in the last edition of the podcast and then already mentioning what they did to Auburn. So Gonzaga having a really successful opening week and a successful Thanksgiving down in Fort Myers, Florida. And just kind of looking at some other notable teams that have been slow coming out of the gate. UCLA looked horrible against San Diego State in their opener, needed three overtimes to get past UCLA. So not a great start for the Bruins, a team that almost won a share of the regular season Pac-12 championship last year. Duke had some issues fending off Coppin State in its home opener after their season opener against Gardner-Webb was canceled. Baylor looked really good against Louisiana. Villanova falling to Virginia Tech in overtime. That game was scheduled really late. And my understanding is that the game was scheduled while Villanova was still playing the previous night against or on Thursday against Arizona State. So that game was put together kind of quickly. So after Villanova struggled to put away Boston College, got a pretty good win against a good Arizona State team. Ramey Martin didn't have his best game, but they put together the Villanova-Virginia Tech matchup in the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic. And Villanova, unable to put it away late. Virginia Tech gets hosed on a bad call with a charge going against it in regulation. And the game goes to overtime, and Virginia Tech just pulls away. So despite not having Landers Nolly back this year, I thought Virginia Tech looked really good. They love to slow the tempo down, did a good job of controlling that against a Villanova team that likes to play a little bit faster. So the way that Virginia Tech was able to balance its offense, they shot 50% from three, out-rebounded Villanova. I thought it was a really impressive win for the Hokies and Mike Young's team after coming over from Wofford the year before, replacing Buzz Williams, who went to Texas A&M. I thought that was really impressive. Villanova has not looked like a top three team to start the season. That can obviously change. And then Michigan State getting underway on the year in the past week, their first real challenge. They beat Notre Dame by 10 in a game that they controlled after beating Eastern Michigan earlier in the week. I mentioned this on the podcast on Friday, notable mid-major upset alert, Kentucky potentially falling to Richmond. It happened at Rupp Arena. Richmond beat Kentucky by 12 in a game that, quite frankly, they played better than the majority of the second half. You often see that favorite kind of make a charge and a stand late in the game. You saw Michigan do that against Oakland Sunday night after the Wolverines really struggled with that Oakland team out of the Horizon League. But Kentucky went 0-for from behind the arc. Richmond was solid throughout the game. Great ball movement. Love their experience. They've been talked about as a mid-major team that can really do a lot of damage. I'm really impressed with what I've seen already from the Richmond Spiders when you throw in Jacob Gilliard, Grant Golden, who is a big that is going to contribute a lot offensively but can also hit outside shots. They've got a couple of bigs that can do that. I like what I saw out of Taylor Kayo and how he's able to contribute on the floor. But Gilliard especially did not have his best shooting performance, was a double-digit scorer last year, but a bunch of steals, a bunch of assists, was helpful on the boards. I just really had a lot of respect for what he was able to do. He impacted the game in a lot of ways, and Richmond's defense forced a ton of takeaways for Kentucky. Wildcats really awful controlling the ball. It looked really one-dimensional at times offensively, with Boston having to do most of the legwork there. And again, Kentucky went 0-for from three-point range and losing to Richmond at Rupp Arena. And Kentucky's going to get it together again. It's a young team, a bunch of McDonald's All-Americans, along with Wake Forest transfer Olivier Saar. But that's not what you wanted to see with what you were hoping for out of Kentucky. And I said Taylor Kayo, I meant Nathan Kayo, and then Tyler Burton working in the front court. And I thought with Burton really efficient offensively, not being asked to do a whole lot, Grant Golden contributing 13 points. Four of their starters had double digits, 10 points off the bench. Matt Grace with a three-pointer. That's another big that can kind of contribute from the outside. And then Blake Francis was just phenomenal with 18 points, 6 of 19 from the floor, hit 3 three-pointers, and for the most part, Richmond did a really nice job at staying out of foul trouble and just frustrated Kentucky offensively throughout the course of the day. So Kentucky just 36% from the floor. It results in a 12-point loss. Richmond, 43% from the floor, did a nice job at not letting the rebounding battle cause an issue. As Kentucky dominated the boards, Richmond continued to scrap and claw and fight. They were just better offensively, and they made up for what they lost in the rebounding battle with turnovers. And Kentucky, as we mentioned already, but 21 turnovers to just 10 for Richmond. So a 2-1 turnover ratio gives Richmond the win on top of just shooting a lot better. Love the ball movement, the way that they were able to get back cuts. Grant Golden especially can help facilitate from the perimeter. He's a really good passer for a guy of his size. So be on the lookout for Richmond as they continue in the Atlantic 10. Atlantic 10's kind of been that fringe league that they could be just a one bid league. They could get two or three teams in. St. Louis got a win over LSU over the weekend. So the Atlantic 10, 2-0 in the unofficial Atlantic 10 SEC Challenge, with Richmond beating Kentucky and St. Louis beating LSU. We finally got to see Creighton. They got to get their season started. Marcus Zagorowski and Mitch Ballack, terrible shooting days. They still beat North Dakota State by 11. And Christian Bishop leading away with 16 points on 6 of 7 shooting. So not the best day offensively for Creighton, but first game, we've seen a lot of top teams struggle out of the gate. We've mentioned a couple of them already on the podcast. So we'll see what Creighton does, but the overreaction, that first initial overreaction, maybe the gap between 1 and 2 in the Big East could be a little bit closer with Villanova being slow out of the gate. Now, with Jeremiah Robinson, Earl Colin Gillespie, that's still the team to beat with the Wildcats and Jay Wright's team, but I do think Creighton could pose a threat, especially if they start getting Zagorowski and Ballack going and going consistently. Had a top 20 matchup on Sunday, Texas Tech and Houston. Houston came out, won that game by 11. A lot of control there. It was the first game as well. You're talking about a new lineup with Jamias Ramsey no longer being in Lubbock. Marco Santos Silva, the transfer from VCU, making his debut. Mac McClung is new to the floor, and it's the third game of the season for Texas Tech, but playing Northwestern State, Sam Houston State, not really getting a feel for just how good this team can be, and it shows that Chris Beard's team still has some adjustments to make, but a terrible offensive day for Texas Tech, and that defense didn't do what it normally does against a Houston team that shot 33% from three, just 35% from the floor, but won the rebounding battle and did a nice job at staying out of foul trouble for the most part. Texas Tech, 39% from the floor, but just 4 of 18 from behind the arc. Mac McClung, 3 of 11, 0 for 6 from 3, 16 points on the day because he was able to get to the foul line so much. That is big news for Texas Tech, the fact that he was deemed immediately eligible. Mac McClung, whose sister actually played soccer at the University of Tennessee. So it's a nice win for Houston. They are off to a 3-0 start. The American Athletic Conference could have some really good teams in it. South Florida was actually favored to beat Rhode Island over the weekend. That did not happen, but South Florida thought to be a fringe top 100 KenPom team. And then, of course, you have Cincinnati and Houston towards the top with Memphis as well. So you've got three teams that you feel pretty good about where they could go. There's likely going to be a fourth and a fifth team that are going to make their way into the conversation. On top of that, Michigan needed overtime to beat Oakland, and Arizona State whooped up on Houston Baptist. Rutgers beat Hofstra. Ohio State beat UMass Lowell. So a number of teams that have gotten off to slow starts. You've seen some teams have very impressive starts. What about the rest of the SEC? We know what Kentucky's done. We mentioned LSU. All but three teams in the league have started their seasons. What does the SEC look like? I got to be honest, it's kind of underwhelming. I'll talk about that next right here on the Behind the Arc podcast. Despite not playing yet this season, Tennessee is now the highest ranked team in the KenPom rankings at 17th. The Volunteers actually jumped up, Kentucky falling back to number 19 after that loss to Richmond. So there's some news there for you for Tennessee. Florida sits at 23. They have not played this season. Mississippi, Ole Miss at 41. After having their first four games of the season canceled, including that Memphis game, which would have been a lot of fun to watch. So those are the three teams in the SEC that have not played yet. Another handful of teams in the top 50, LSU at 43, Alabama at 48, Arkansas at 50, Missouri at 56, having just played once this season, Texas A&M at 65, South Carolina 67, Auburn 71, Mississippi State down at 92, Georgia at 99, Vanderbilt at 125. Vanderbilt getting a season opening win over Valparaiso earlier this week. And when I look back at what I've seen from the SEC so far, South Carolina lost to Liberty on Saturday. We mentioned LSU losing to St. Louis. Arkansas had a pretty easy opening slate. They whooped up on Mississippi Valley State 142-62 and then beat North Texas over the weekend. Auburn, we mentioned, lost to Gonzaga after struggling with St. Joseph's on Thursday. LSU getting that loss to St. Louis after they were kind of in a dogfight with SIU Edwardsville earlier in the week, and Mississippi State has lost to Liberty and Clemson. So Liberty with a couple of SEC wins already with beating Mississippi State and South Carolina, and South Carolina bounced back, beat Tulsa. Georgia struggled with Florida A&M. They needed to pull away in the second half. Texas A&M beat New Orleans. So the Aggies off to a 1-0 start. And really, when I look at it, Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Alabama are the only teams that have done what you kind of would expect them to so far, at least what you would hope they would in a good way. Mississippi State and Georgia coming out of the gate kind of slow is about what you would expect. Florida hasn't played yet. Tennessee and Ole Miss have not played yet. Vanderbilt struggling a little bit against Valpo is kind of what you would expect. But LSU has probably been the biggest surprise in a disappointing fashion, just because they have not looked good through two games this year with all the talent they have coming back. Kentucky, obviously, if it's a packed Rupp Arena, maybe it's a different environment, but you still lost to Richmond at home. And I realize Richmond is more experienced. I've already acknowledged that I think Richmond could be a really good basketball team this year. But the talent disparity is so obviously in favor of Kentucky. That is not a game that Kentucky should lose. And granted, Kentucky lost to Evansville at the beginning of last season, so it has had worse losses in non-conference play during John Calipari's time there. Arkansas with that North Texas win by 15 points. They look pretty solid. Jaden Shackelford had a really good season opening performance in the win for Alabama over Jacksonville State. So not a whole lot to really write about outside of LSU and Kentucky's performances. Nobody to me has been overly impressive, but I do like what I've seen so far out of Arkansas and Auburn, and we'll see if that continues, because I thought those were two of the top five teams in the SEC going into that season. Kind of dropped my expectations for Arkansas with Isaiah Joe leaving, but top 50 KenPom off to a 2-0 start. You can't ask for much more with what's been put in front of them. And Missouri, their season opening win over Oral Roberts in one-sided fashion. We've got more games coming up this week with the SEC. Monday's actually a decently heavy SEC slate. The big one, there's actually a couple of big ones, Auburn and Central Florida at 7 o'clock Monday night. And then Stanford plays Alabama at 9:30. Stanford, of course, no longer has Tyrell Terry. They still have Oscar Da Silva. That could be a really fun game in the Maui Invitational. Of course, the game's not actually being played in Maui. Mississippi State plays a 2-0 Texas State team. LSU plays Southeast Louisiana. So Texas State going to try to make something happen against Mississippi State. Beat a non-Division I school in its opener and then beat Texas A&M Corpus Christi on Saturday. Expect Mississippi State to bounce back at its first win of the season. DJ Stewart is off to a really nice start for the Bulldogs too, so it could be somebody to watch out for. Again, they're having to replace Reggie Perry in the front court, then Robert Woodard, two big contributors that were both drafted in the NBA earlier this fall. So Tuesday brings up a really nice slate as well. Vanderbilt takes on UConn. Kentucky in the State Farm Champions Classic is going to face Kansas. That's a really nice opportunity for a get-right game. And I know get-right games are typically reserved for weaker opponents, but Kansas, after kind of being exposed in a big way by Gonzaga, just doesn't look like a team with top-level talent. It feels like a smaller team. And I know that's easy to say when Udoka Azubuike is not there, but Marcus Garrett and Christian Brown are trying to take on a bigger role for Devon Dotson not being there. It just hasn't looked great so far for Kansas, and I wonder, whatever team wins this game, if that could generate some momentum moving in to the rest of the season. Florida is scheduled to start its season on Wednesday against Oklahoma. Texas A&M will take on Tarleton. Arkansas will take on UT Arlington, which UT Arlington gave Oklahoma State a decent showing in Cade Cunningham's college debut. So not expecting an upset, but UT Arlington, maybe a bit of a scrappy team. And then looking ahead to the rest of the week, Friday was supposed to be the day that Tennessee would take on Notre Dame. That's obviously not happening. Georgia will face Jacksonville. Mississippi State will face North Texas. So North Texas, its second SEC opponent of the season. And then Auburn will get South Alabama before we get to the weekend. South Carolina ahead on Saturday has a really intriguing matchup against Houston. So a big test for Frank Martin, AJ Lawson, and the Gamecocks going up against that Houston team that's coming off a really nice win over Texas Tech on Sunday. So the SEC, you're starting to get into more power conference matchups. Again, that Alabama game Monday night against Stanford looks really enticing. Auburn will take on Central Florida in the Golden Knights season opener. Could that be a good team that comes out of the American Athletic Conference? So we'll wait and see. And we've got more matchups coming up around the rest of the country outside of the SEC. What does that look like? What can we expect out of the Jimmy V Classic this week without Tennessee? What do you expect from Baylor now that they've kind of gotten to sink their teeth into a Power 5 opponent after just dismantling Washington on Sunday evening? We will talk about all that, break down the matchups coming up next. You're listening to the Behind the Arc podcast right here on the Sports Animal. We've broken down some of the SEC matchups you can expect to see this week. And again, if I had to make a power ranking, I guess you can put Tennessee at number one in the SEC, despite the fact they haven't played. But Kentucky and LSU, two teams that were thought to be second and third in the SEC, respectively, behind Tennessee in the preseason poll, have already taken losses to Atlantic 10 teams. And I like the Atlantic 10. If you listened to this podcast last season, you know me. I've been an advocate for the Atlantic 10. Even with Obi Toppin and Dayton last year, the team that they had, I still thought at times VCU, Richmond, Rhode Island, there were a handful of teams playing some really good basketball in the Atlantic 10. St. Louis, which beat LSU and almost beat Dayton last year in overtime. So I think what we are seeing out of the Atlantic 10 is, hey, they want to go out and they want to compete. And also, we've just seen so many bizarre outcomes already this season. Georgia Tech losing to Mercer, things like that. It's just been a slow start for some of these power conference teams that you would expect to go out and take care of business. Monday, 19th ranked Texas. They cruised in their season opener against UT Rio Grande. And then they will take on Davidson in the Maui Invitational. That's a team that was disappointing out of the Atlantic 10 last year. See if the Wildcats, Steph Curry's alma mater, can turn that one around. North Carolina, you will see them in action against UNLV after North Carolina got its season started against Charleston last Wednesday. Tuesday, we mentioned the Kentucky matchup in the State Farm Champions Classic. Michigan State will take on Duke. Duke didn't look great in its opener. Michigan State hasn't really been tested. That's not a great Notre Dame team that the Spartans beat over the weekend. But Michigan State and Duke on Tuesday night at 7:30, that'll be the front end of the Champions Classic. Kentucky and Kansas will tip off at 9:30. And then Wednesday, you look ahead to the Jimmy V Classic. West Virginia is going to take on Gonzaga. West Virginia has not looked impressive so far. Gonzaga has looked every bit like the number one team in the country that they were expected to be. Jalen Suggs has been really impressive so far in his young career. Corey Kispert, of course, is a preseason All-American. Drew Timmy does a great job at getting positioning around the basket. I love what he does offensively inside. That is a team that is going to be so tough to contend with for the rest of the season. And then the nightcap for the Jimmy V Classic is Illinois and Baylor. I'm excited to see Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn go up against that talented Baylor team. Should be a blockbuster matchup. Didn't like what I saw out of Illinois in their third game of the season against Ohio. But what we've seen so far from Baylor is just pure dominance. And so it could be a really nice setup for what we're expecting on Saturday with that Gonzaga-Baylor 1-2 matchup. And both those teams could very well be undefeated, but they've got big tests before that with top 15 matchups each coming up this Wednesday. Ohio State's going to play Morehead State. That is a team that you sometimes see creating a splash of somebody that could upset the apple cart a little bit. You've heard about Morehead State before. So we'll see what they do. Did not look good against Kentucky. It may not be their year, but Ohio State going to have to make sure that it avoids an upset in Michigan after a near upset to Oakland in overtime on Sunday night, is going to play Ball State on Wednesday. Thursday, not a ton of great matchups, but you do have Texas Tech against St. John's Thursday night. St. John's, a team out of the Big East that has not looked great through two games, struggled to put away St. Peter's, and had a decent showing against LaSalle out of the Atlantic 10. Villanova was supposed to play Temple. That game has been postponed. And then the Pac-12 gets underway with Arizona State taking on Cal. That's the late game on Thursday night at 10 o'clock. Creighton's going to take on Kennesaw State on Friday. Michigan State is going to take on Detroit Mercy. Virginia taking on Kent State. Kent State has not played yet this year. But a really under-the-radar game, Wisconsin is going to face Marquette. And this is a rematch from what you saw a year ago, with Marquette being 2-0 to start the season, and they've cruised so far. Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Eastern Illinois, nothing crazy, nothing to write home about. But the Badgers, expected to be a top 10 team, did not look great against Eastern Illinois, rebounded nicely against Arkansas, Pine Bluff with a good offensive showing. Nate Reavers trying to have a big sophomore season, already averaging 16 points per game this year. So that Wisconsin-Marquette matchup could be a lot of fun. And then when we get to the weekend for Saturday, Gonzaga-Baylor, Ohio State and Alabama A&M is another top 25 team in action. Kansas set to take on North Dakota State, and then Houston to face South Carolina, as we mentioned before. And then looking ahead to Sunday, while I know we're jumping way out in front here, but Villanova to take on Texas. That's a top 20 Big East, Big 12 battle matchup that they're putting together. West Virginia is going to face Georgetown. Michigan State's going to take on Western Michigan. UCLA is going to take on Cal. So UCLA really needs to get off to a good start in Pac-12 play here. You saw that they struggled in non-conference play last year. They've already looked bad through two games this season. But UCLA, after going to triple overtime against Pepperdine, that is something that needs to get corrected in a hurry with UCLA, how bad they've looked offensively. It has not been a great start to the season for Mick Cronin's team in his second year, but obviously two games in, ton of time to turn it around. If they can make a splash in the Big 12, in the Pac-12, could make you forget about what's happened in late November. Michigan will take on Central Florida on Sunday, and then Kentucky is going to face a Georgia Tech team that's coming off a loss to Mercer. So a lot of fun matchups coming up this weekend. And again, Tennessee is still waiting to play. They are scheduled to face Cincinnati on Saturday, December 12th, while we wait for the college basketball season to get going here in Knoxville. But looking around the rest of the conference, if Tennessee can get off to a fast start, it could really set the tone for the rest of the season when you consider that most of the SEC up to now has been fairly underwhelming. I appreciate you checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. It is great to have games to talk about, great to preview matchups, great to look ahead at what's coming up this week in college basketball. Again, Monday's action. Enjoy that Stanford-Alabama game. That one should be a lot of fun. You've got Auburn taking on Central Florida. I am excited for what could happen in this college basketball season, but a lot of the action gets going early on at 12 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, shout out to my alma mater. You got Piedmont College playing in another one of those Division III, Division I games. But Piedmont College out of Georgia already lost to the Citadel. It was a five-point game in the second half, but they're going to take on Western Carolina at 11 o'clock on ESPN+, if anybody wants to check that out. Another under-the-radar game in the Big Ten, Big East matchup in the Maui Invitational. You have Indiana against Providence Monday at 2:30. So some day basketball, can enjoy that. You have St. John's going up against Boston College at 6 o'clock. And then, of course, the Maui Invitational is going to continue with North Carolina, UNLV. And that Alabama-Stanford matchup is set to go at 9:30. So you could have some fun with a lot of that one. And another notable matchup, Seton Hall, which had a pretty good performance, narrowly beat Louisville on Friday, lost by one in the Wade Houston Tip-Off Classic. Seton Hall is going to take on Iona, Rick Pitino's debut as Iona's head coach. Seton Hall obviously expected to win that game, but that game is going to tip off at 9 o'clock, so be sure to check that one out to see Rick Pitino in his first season coaching Iona since coming back from Louisville after the whole debacle that took place at his former school. Thank you so much for checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. Again, throw me a basketball question at Joel Silverberg on Twitter. We are less than 2 weeks away from Tennessee getting its season started and hoping for the best after dealing with some COVID issues last week that led to the cancellation of the Volunteer Tip-Off Classic and Tennessee's participation in the Jimmy V Classic. Again, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google, 99.1thesportsanimal.com or the Sports Animal app powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. Feel free to tell somebody you know about the Behind the Arc podcast. Leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Hit that subscribe button and tell a basketball fan you know about Behind the Arc right here on the Sports Animal.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal.